when you sorted that knee out, can you get this lectin sorted out? I'd just like to distance myself from any rumours about vacuum cleaning and even knowing what one is. So great to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting me to be in your church with you this morning. Been to an assembly this week, a conference this week. It was, the tagline was totally, and it was about commitment and about commitment to serve in the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. It was put on by the National Assembly for the Furtherance of Pharisaicalism. That's NAF. Totally NAF. Which just about sums it up, really. There's a joke going round the assembly. How many Pharisees does it take to change a light bulb? The answer, of course, is 100. One to change it, and 99 to wail and lament about how good the old light bulb had been and why it needed changing in the first place. You see, us Pharisees, we don't do change very well. Actually, I should say those Pharisees, because I resigned from the order of Pharisees just this week. I've been thinking about it for a while, if I'm honest. And it's not been easy, because my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, in fact, down through the generations, have all been Pharisees, proudly proclaiming the faith and keeping it sound and pure, helping people in their search for God. You should have seen my mum and dad the day that I qualified as a Pharisee. They were beaming with pride, and you can see that in the photograph that's on the mantelpiece at home, me with my scroll and my little cap on, and they're beaming at the side of me. Just amazing. They're not going to take this resignation very well. But I just had to. It was this Jesus. You see, have you heard of him? Most people have. Actually, everyone loves him. Especially the way he keeps poking fun at us Pharisees and tying us up in theological knots. I wouldn't mind, but the guy's got no theological training. He's a carpenter's son from up north. He's got a dodgy accent, probably a flat cap in the cupboard and races whippets in his spare time. There's that old line, isn't there? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the answer, of course, is the N6. But there's something about him. I mean, I've seen others like him before. Every generation throws up a new teacher, a so-called miracle worker. It's all done with mirrors. So miracles. Some self-proclaimed Messiah. But they only last 5 minutes. You see, the Pharisees, they've got a special ops subcommittee. I'm on it. Well, I was on it. And we get sent out to take care of these shysters. It's usually quite easy. You can tie them up in knots. Make fools of them and then you never see them again. But not with Jesus. We got sent out just a few weeks ago. The boss said, Eli, he said, there's a big job and we need the best. Get yourself to Galilee and sort out this latest imposter. It seems that the local lads had a go, but they came back with their tails between their legs. And now they're sending us. We caught up with this Jesus at Gennesaret. Apparently, he'd just come across the lake from the other side, walking on the water. That's big mirrors, that, isn't it? The crowds were flocking around him. Amazing, really. All the world's dross. The sick, the lame, sinners. They were queuing up to touch his coat and to be blessed by him. And I knew then, when I saw the crowds, This was going to be a big job. I watched for a while, see what was going on, and then I saw the way in. A weakness. There's always one with these fellas. All this sickness and all these sinners, they're unclean. And yet, Jesus and his disciples were touching these sick. See where I'm going? Touching these sick and these sinners and then eating without washing their hands. It's basic stuff. You're going to get contaminated, aren't you? You're going to be unclean before God. So we moved in for the kill. I've got an account of it somewhere. I'll read it to you. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law, that's us, came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your mother and father, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honour his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth doesn't make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean." And then his disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" Offended, let me tell you. He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." And Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." You know, even reading this now unnerves me and excites me. He's overturned everything I've stood for all these years. On the one hand, he's pulled the rug out from under me. But on the other hand, he's given me a hope in my heart like I've never had before. I'm still amazed. You know, we went in on such sure ground. This ceremonial hand washing has been a tradition for ages. It's common sense and it's based in God's word. Some things are unclean. God says so in his laws. Animals with trotters, insects, your wife for a few days every month or for a few days after she's given birth. God says to avoid these things. It's contamination. We have developed God's thinking a little bit, I have to say. You know, you sit on a park bench, you don't know who's been there before you, you know, you need to clean yourself, don't you? You touch the doorknob on the way out, you don't know who's touched it before you, you need to wash your hands, for goodness sake. It's obvious, isn't it? And so washing properly is important, surely. I mean, you have to wash your hands, You do this in hospital nowadays, don't you? You have to wash your hands. But then as you're washing it like this, the water's dripping down, isn't it? All that dirty water's dripping down and it might get on you. So then you have to turn your hands over and you have to rinse so that the water drops off. And then you have to get a clean towel every time to dry your hands, do you know? I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Because you don't want to be contaminated. Okay, the ritual's got a bit elaborate. But it's just about showing God how serious you are about your faith and your desire to be clean. Showing him how good you can be. You don't look too impressed, if I'm honest. But it's a sound enough argument to win over most of these shysters. But Jesus, he kept moving the goalposts. He's clever. He just moved the focus from him breaking these traditions to the Pharisees breaking God's word by following traditions. He's right, of course. To be honest, I've always felt a bit uncomfortable about this practice. You know this practice he talked about? It's usually those with plenty of money who want more money and don't want to let go of any of their money. But they've got to care for their elderly parents. That's what God's law says. Nursing homes are really expensive. You know that. So some invoke this temple oath. You can pledge everything that you've got to God. Declare all your belongings and all your money as devoted to God. It doesn't kick in until you die. Clever. On that day, all your estate passes to the temple. But until then, it's yours to use as you want. And the more you make in your business, the happier you are. And actually, the happier the temple is. Because when you die, they get it all. Your parents, well, they fend for themselves. And when Jesus condemned us with those words, I felt the breath being sucked out of my lungs. Thus, you nullify the word of God about honouring your mum and dad for the sake of your tradition. He put his finger right on the heart of it. I'd been uncomfortable about it, but I couldn't see any way around it. Then he called us hypocrites. You know, actors. You know those actors with face masks? Happy mask and the sad mask? Hypocrites. Doesn't matter what you like underneath. It's what people see on the outside. And when he quoted Isaiah, I just felt the blood drain from my face. Of course, why hadn't I seen it before? These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. I wanted to fall at his feet there and then, to touch his coat like everyone else. I was convicted. I knew that what he was saying was true. This thudding realization, me, Eli the Pharisee, of a long, proud line of Pharisees, a member of the special ops group, who religiously did everything down to the last detail to show God how good I could be and how clean I could get. Actually, I was a hypocrite and a sinner. Anyway, before I could even speak, or even think about speaking, Jesus called the crowd to him. Did you remember what he said? Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth doesn't make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean. I was still thinking about that when his disciples came over. Some of my fellow Pharisees at this point were harumphing and expostulating, fit to burst. Jesus had a few words to say about them, didn't he? One of the disciples, a big, hairy-nosed fisherman called Peter, asked Jesus what he meant about this unclean thing. And he said, "Are you still so dull?" Quite funny at the time. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." And I realised then, this isn't just some peripheral tradition that's at stake here. This isn't just about hand washing. This actually is about the most fundamental question about the human condition as we stand before God. This is about heart washing. Do you see? It's not about being clean on the outside. It's about being clean on the inside. It's fundamental. I've been taught all my life that basically I'm a good person, but I get contaminated by things from the outside. So you mustn't touch unclean things. And the way to get clean, the way to get close to God, is to wash, or to pray 5 times a day, or to observe the minutiae of the law and the traditions. And I have. And I do. I wear phylacteries, little things on my head with God's word inside them. At home, around the doorpost, we've got God's word nailed around so that we can see them every time we go through the door. I give exactly a tenth of everything I have. I'm never late for worship. That's how good I am. Never late for worship on a Sunday morning, Saturday morning. I do all these things religiously. But you know what? I'm still empty inside. Still feel miles away from God. Still dirty. Jesus is right. It's here in my heart, evil thoughts, vile words. Even on my way home, down the M6, woman driver, no signal, cut me up. I nearly hit her, and I called her every name under the sun, and then some. And even at that moment, I knew that Jesus was right. It's in here. This is where it goes wrong. All I've stood for, all I've lived my life by, is a charade. I've been blind all these years. What he said, nice line. The blind leading the blind. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit. I've been blind. I've been leading others. We're all destined for the pit. Well, not anymore. I see now. And I see what I've got to do. I resigned. The others, well, when we got back, there was a big debate at the assembly. They're plotting to stop him, you know, this Jesus. And they will, one way or the other. Me? Well, I'm back off up the M6. You see, Jesus didn't explain there how I could get clean on the inside. I wonder what kind of new sacrifice is going to be needed to take away sin. Well, I hope to join him. I hope to become one of his disciples. I hope to learn from him, if they don't kill him first.